making a judgment of things that are beyond the realm of Christ's authority. I'm talking about the authority. The Bible is very plain. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And then he commissioned, "Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, there's two things I want you to note that. I'm going to move quickly. What time do I quit? I need to know that. Okay. That helped me pattern my lesson. Now I forgot what I just read. Two things I want you to remember from Matthew 28. Number one, Jesus said what? All authority. If you read the old King James, and that's what I'm holding in my hands, says, "All power has been given to me in heaven and earth." If you have all power, you have all authority, right? So Christ has all authority. It's been given to him in heaven and in earth. And when we are judged, friends, it's not going to be by your thinking or my thinking or the law of Moses or the law of the patriarch. It's going to be by Jesus Christ, because he said all the authority in heaven has been given to me, and all the authority on earth has been given to me. And then he said, "Now you go teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then verse number 20, he said, "You teach them." Who? Those who were baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have said unto you. "And though I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That'll settle a lot of disputes in the church if we would follow what I've just read to you. That'll settle a lot of disputes in the contemporary religious world if we would just follow that. If we just go by that and look to him for the authority. It was Jesus who said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now in John 17:17, he said in his prayer, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Now I read you a moment ago Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man, and this is in the temptation of Jesus. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God." That ought to settle a lot of things for us, shouldn't it? Should it? Well, y'all looking at me off in Solomon, "Have I made a mistake here? Don't shoot. I give up. I surrender." You know, it reminds me of a thing I read last night. I was doing some reading in this back in the days of communism, and these Christians there in Russia were having a secret meeting, and all of a sudden two armed soldiers stormed in with their guns, and everybody raised your hand. If you want to renounce your Christianity, leave. Well, two or three left, and then two or three more left, and a lot of them stayed very apprehensive. And finally, one of these soldiers said, "Everybody's got their hands up, keep them up. But keep them up because you believe in God now. Because we went to a meeting like this last week by charge of our boss, and we were converted. And we're here to worship with you." Well, that's one way to weed out. Well, I surrender anyway. Don't shoot me, okay? We're talking about authority, and whether we like it or not. Jesus Christ has all the authority in heaven and in earth, and we are to do what he teaches us to do. It's just that simple. You go teach, you baptize, and you teach them to observe all things. Not some of the things, not what we like and what we don't like, and we pick and choose. And I'm telling you, our culture is getting worse and worse. It's I, me, my, and mine, what I want, when I want it, how I want it, how much I want it. If you don't like it, you just go jump in the Black River. I mean, we live in a culture that's filled with that attitude today. And it's crept right into the church. And the church has allowed the world to pull it in the direction of the world. And such should never be. We are to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. We are to be as shining lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I'm talking to you folks, if you're a member of the church. We're to be different. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And right is right if nobody's doing it, and wrong is wrong if everybody's doing it. No, there's no right way to do a wrong thing, and that's right. And we need to live by that. Whatever happened to the day when the church was different? Well, somebody said, we don't want to be different today. You won't convert people if you're different. Well, if you don't do it that way, what are you going to convert them to? Hello? What are we trying to convert people to? Well, I try to convert them to Christ. Christ stood as one, didn't he? Unique. An individual. And to him has been given all authority. And we are to be in submission to him. And he said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And as Brother Hardiman once said, that's not nearly it. That's not about it. That's it. And didn't Jesus say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do we believe that? Then we're going to have to know his way, aren't we? Because people pick up on what I've said so far and they just say, yeah, I know John 12:48 says, he that rejects me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But you just understand it differently than I do. You know. You understand the word this way. I understand it this way. We just don't understand the Bible alike. You ever run into that? Oh, I have. And I've run into that amongst the church. Right amongst my own brethren. So, well, si, that's just your understanding of that passage. What we need is Herman, you know, the new hermeneutics. I mean, we'll figure out some way, and here we go, and everybody gets their own understanding. I don't know whether how much you keep up with what's going on in our brotherhood today, and I don't harp on that either, but I'm going to tell you, the instrument of music question is slipping right back into the picture, and already some large churches, the one in Texas, I wouldn't even talk about it, but it was in the Christian Chronicle, and the whole world gets the Christian Chronicle. Anybody who wants to read it can read it. And they brought in the instrument and changed the Lord's Supper so they can have it on Saturday night and a lot of other things. Where does anybody get the authority for that? Well, now, you know, and we just don't understand this the way you do, Sites. You need to go back to school. Well, that's probably true. I could do some more learning without any question about that. But can we not understand the Bible alike? Folks, listen to me. If we understand it, we understand it alike. You can't understand something and understand it different. Red is red and black is black and white is white. Now, what's your understanding of that? That's my understanding of that. That red is red, black is black, and white is white. No, I think really red is just an off shade of green and blue mixed together, you know. I just don't understand that like you do. No, if we understand a thing, we understand it alike. Now, we may misunderstand it. And I'm going to tell you, if you and I disagree about the Bible, either you misunderstand it, or I misunderstand it, or we both misunderstand it. But we can't have an understanding of it and not understand it alike. If we did, what does that make God? Nothing but a God of confusion. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, God is not the author of confusion, but is a God of peace, as in all churches of the saints. What did Jesus pray for? What did he pray for? He prayed for himself. John 17:1-5, he prayed for his apostles. Verses 6-19, and in beginning with verse 20, he prayed for you and me, his church, his people, in any generation, any culture of time, when he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for all of them that shall believe on me through their, the apostle, their word. That's you and me. That they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may all understand the Bible alike and be all divided up. Hello? That they may all be one in us. That the world may believe that you have sent me. God wants us to be united. He does not want us to be divided. And he gives us a way to be united by the Word of God. The Word of God. But we've got to understand it. Well, we just never will understand it alike. You believe that? I believe we can. I want to show you why I say that. I have three little simple rules that I believe if we will follow will help us most of the time, if not all of the time, to understand the Scriptures alike. And the first one is found in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. And I know that's in the Old Testament, but just read it. The secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may keep all the words of this law. Read the verse there. It says something just about like that. I think it does say the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The secret things belong to God. What are we doing delving into the secret things? Things we don't even know. And people divide over the secret things. How much division has been in the contemporary religious world about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishing of a kingdom here on earth? Secret things belong to God. The kingdom's not secret, but when he comes back, it is. Nobody knows. God only knows when Jesus Christ shall return here. And it won't be to this earth because 2 Peter 3 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, with the heavens, the earth shall melt and to be destroyed. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the work therein shall be burned up. He's not coming back to this earth. There's not going to be any this earth. Be a new heaven and a new earth. And if you've got all the secrets figured out about that, I want to see you this week because you can explain that to me. Because I think there's things about that that nobody knows. Only God. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of them that love him, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It'll be a grand and glorious moment. The secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed belong to us. That's the Old Testament, I know. So you think that's not still true? You think the secret things don't still belong to God? Oh, I just think so. You've got answered all the secret things. I just got through teaching in Vacation Bible School 5 lessons on a look at the future, and in one of them we talked about the state of the dead and where are the dead and what happens to people when they die. And we had some questions arose in that class as, boy, I don't have the answer. And I don't believe you do either. One lady asked in class, Brother Sykes, your mama was 94 and blind. Is she going to be 94 and blind? And Brother Sykes, your little, he'd be a year my senior. Your brother, who died at the age of 6 months, is he going to be a tiny little baby or is he going to be a... Now, if you haven't answered all that, see me at church. I'd like to spend the afternoon with you. You can explain all that to me. The secret things belong to God. Secondly, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul, writing to a young preacher, said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Not about the word. Not what somebody said about the word. He said, preach the word. Is that plain or is that plain? Do you need me to help you understand that? When Paul said to this preacher, preach the word. What did he mean? He meant what? What do you mean? This class, if y'all want to nod your heads, okay. Well, he meant preach the word. Isn't that what he said? Well, of course it is. Like the old preacher told the young preacher, he said, put a lot of scriptures in your sermon, son. At least that much will be right. Now, you get on to that in a minute. You just stay with me. Preach the word. Not about the word, not what someone said about the word. You cannot improve upon the Word of God. Now, we've got to properly use it. That is true. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I believe the American Standard says handling aright. One version says handling correctly. And that's what that means. We're to learn the Word of God and use it correctly. You can use it wrong. One verse says Judas went and hanged himself. You remember that? Another verse says, go and do thou likewise. You remember that? Not talking about that, of course. Talking about something else. Another one says, what thou doest, do it quickly. Put those three together and what do you have? Judas went and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. And what thou doest, do it quickly. Well, you can make the Bible say almost anything you want it to say. But it doesn't teach that. Does it? No, you got to use it right. We've got to preach the Word, stay with the Word of God, and use it correctly when we do. Oh, how it's abused. Some of my own flesh and blood relatives abuse it this way. About this instrument of music thing, and I'm not harping on the instrument of music, but somebody will say, you know, right over there in Psalms 150, praise Him with the psaltery and the harps and the trumpet and the... What's our authority? Psalms 150? You want me to go back over that again? Did y'all get that when I went by that a while ago? Did you catch a hold of that? All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me. Well, Jesus didn't say anything about that part of our worship. Paul did. And the apostles were writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Read carefully John 14, 15, and 16. And the Lord even told those apostles, He'll bring to your remembrance all things I've said to you. You won't even have to worry about what to say. Whatever you need to know and say, He'll supply it for you. And He did. Acts chapter 2, they spoke as the Spirit of God gave them utterance or ability. It was miraculous. Yes, of course it was. Well, now, but I say, well, since Jesus didn't say anything about it, what did He do? And all the things I've written about, I've read about this music question, seems nobody approaches this. And so I think I'm going to ride on it. What did Jesus do? Did He have a 101 string philharmonic orchestra? Did they have drums and bands and guitars and fiddles? What did He do? Well, we don't know what He did. Well, of course you do if you read your Bible. It's right there in Matthew 26, where He instituted the Lord's Supper. And He gave the unleavened bread and told them, this is My body, you eat this. He gave the fruit of the vine, you drink this. This is My blood of the new covenant. And what does it say? And they sang a hymn and went out. You want to know what Jesus did? He sang a hymn. That's good enough for me. Now, that may not be good enough for you. And if it's not, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm just going to say, you just don't understand that like I do. And if I understand it wrong, we both understand it wrong. There's not but one truth about that. There's just one truth. One doctrine. One doctrine. One doctrine. It's always in the singular when it is God's doctrine. Christ's doctrine, sound doctrine, true doctrine, plural, false doctrines, doctrines of men, etc., etc. God has just one teaching for Him. God is not trying to confuse us. He has given us a way to be united, all believe the same things, all enjoy the same blessings and promises, if we'll just understand it. And if we understand it, we'll understand it alike. He's to preach the Word. Thirdly, is found in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. This is right at the end of the Bible. And He tells us two things here. That we're not to add to the Word, nor take away from the Word. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. Y'all looking these up, I hope, and read these. Don't take my word for this. Don't ever take any man's word for anything. Check it out. Like the Bereans did in Acts 17. When Paul, the apostle, preached to them, and the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. You do that, don't you? Now, my brother McGirt does. I've been watching him. He's been flipping his Bible ever since I started. No wonder it's so wore out. I may give you a new Bible.
You're like an old friend.
An old friend. Boy, I can buy that. That's the best friend you'll have ever, too. Do not add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, John wrote, the revelation of Jesus, or all the plagues written in this book shall be added to you. And do not take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, or your part will be taken out of the book of life in the holy city. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Well, now, Brother Sykes, that means revelation. I grant it. I don't deny that. So we can just take away or add to any part of the rest of the Bible we want to. Hello? Well, you don't believe that, and I don't either. Of course, that's talking about revelation. That same thing applies to all of God's Word. If you go back in the old law, in Deuteronomy 4, they were not to add nor diminish from the law. Add to nor diminish it. In Proverbs 30, verse 6 says, add not thou to his word, lest thou be reproved. We're not allowed to add to, nor take away from, nor change it in any way. Three simple rules. Do you see them? Sorry. The secret things belong to God. Am I standing in the way? And the things that reveal belong to us. And then stay with the Word of God. I don't care what the preacher says, and I don't care what some church says, and I don't care what some school says. Just stay with the Word of God and use it correctly, and don't add to it, don't take away from it, don't change it. Is that simple? Is this too simple for us? Is this too simple for our so-called Christian world of today? Well, that's well and good, but how are you going to ever apply that? Well, let's just apply it, okay? Just turn your Bible to Exodus 3, verses 2 through 4, and you'll find a story that you're all familiar with. I know these young people are familiar with this. They learned this early on about the burning bush. Remember that? Yeah, you remember how old Charlton Heston, he stood before that burning bush, and I mean how Moses stood. And you know, God says to him, remove your shoes from your feet. You're standing on holy ground. Is he standing on holy ground? Was he? This means yes now. Was he standing on holy ground? Yes. Why, we agree on that, don't we? Absolutely. It says, God even, God said, remove your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. We sing two songs at home a lot. They're little short songs, and I don't know whether they're in your book. I didn't look what kind of book you have, but it's Holy Ground. I don't know whether it's in that one. Boy, it's great, two great songs. We sing between class and worship, and I just put them both on the screen. I do the leading in that part, and we sing those songs a lot because when we come before God, we stand on holy ground, friend. For God is holy. You agree with that? I mean, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. We agree with that. Well, yeah, it says he was. Was God speaking to Moses in the burning bush? What do you think? Was God speaking to Moses in a burning bush? That's my question to you. What do you think? Anybody willing to say no? Anybody willing to say yes? Yes, of course he was. Are we all in agreement on that now? That God spoke to Moses from a burning bush? Y'all did have a bad night, didn't you? Why, yes, we're all in agreement on that, aren't we? Anybody disagree with that?
Disagree with the term between in and from.
Okay, but that's another lesson. Okay, then we say, what kind of bush was it? Oh, well, Brother McGirt says, I think it was a pine bush because pine burns real brightly and everything. That's the way God is. But Miss Sarah says, oh, no, no, no. I don't agree with that. I think it was a hickory bush because I'm telling you, hickory is solid. It's hard. You can't even chop into it with an axe. And that's the way I see God. God is immovable. God is solid. God is dependable. We can always look at God, and he's always there. And Brother William says, no, no, no. I don't agree with that at all. I think, really, that it was cypress. Because cypress, you know, just seems like nothing can destroy cypress. And also, cypress is soft wood. And I believe that God is soft and loving and kind and tender and compassionate and just loves us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. And we're divided three ways. Brother Don's got a, what kind of, oh, he got a pine tree church. Because it's so bright, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. And Miss Loretta's got a hickory bush church. Hickory church because, boy, I mean, it's solid. We're not going to move. We're not. Brother William's got a cypress bush. Just tolerate anything. Cypress church. Get my churches right here. We're divided up three ways. Do you notice that? We've got a pine tree church, we've got a hickory church, and we've got a cypress church. Now, why are we divided up three ways? Because we broke our rules. God doesn't say what kind of bush that was. It's a secret. And we got away from the Word, and we began to inject our own thoughts. No, I believe it had to be a pine tree, because, I mean, here, man, God is bright, and He's on fire, you know. And we're divided up. Do you see that? Can you see that? You can't keep from seeing that. It's when we break these three simple rules, that we become divided. Let's look at another one. Just one more, and then we'll hasten on and stop. You know the story. I'm sorry, I'm late getting my stuff up there. You know the story about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said, "Good Master, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these things that you're doing unless God be with him." And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born anew, he shall not see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't understand, did he? He said, "How can a man be born, go back into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God." I'm sure we all know that story well. You should. You don't, learn it. Wouldn't hurt to memorize it. If you're going to go to heaven, friend, you better be born again. I mean, we all agree on that. Everybody shake head. Jesus made that plain. He repeated that. That's so important. He said, you've got to be born anew. He said, you've got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. No getting around any of that. Jesus said that. Did Nicodemus come to Jesus? Jesus didn't go to him. He came to Jesus. Nicodemus come to Jesus. Was Nicodemus a ruler of the Jews? Yeah, he was. He was an authority. In authority. Did he come by night? Are you everybody with me? Shake your head like yes. What do we say? There was a man named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night. Are we all agreed? Everybody in here agree on that? I said, thank you. He said, that's exactly what it said. Why did he come by night? Whoa. What? Oh, well, I think he came by night because he had to work all day and he couldn't come in at daytime, so he had to come by night. Oh, but Miss Sarah said, no, girl, I don't agree with you not one bit. I think he was afraid of the crowds and that he just couldn't come out with the crowds, and I've heard that, and one guy told me, I just can't come up there with them crowds. And the next time I saw him, he was out on the lake fishing and schooling fish, and there were 15 boats all around him. Fishing line across his boat, and he's afraid of crowds. And then you see him at the ball game, and everybody just hooping and hollering at the ball game. Afraid of crowds? Well, no. I don't agree with that at all. Brother McGirt said, I just don't agree with that. He said, I just think that he was so tired when he got home from work that he had to rest some. I still have some time, right? Okay. Did you tell me 22?
Normally that's when it
happens. Oh, 20 after. Oh, I'm 15 minutes off. I thought you. Well, okay, I'll hurry up then. I'm not going to get through with this now. I'm sorry. I've been watching that clock pretty close. Where was I? So we're divided up three ways. We've got a work all day church, and we've got a fraidy cat church, and we've got a too tired church. We're divided up three ways over what the Bible says there. Now, why are we divided? Because we broke our simple rules. The secret things belong to God. It doesn't tell why he didn't come, why he came at night. We broke our rules. We got away from the Word, and we began to say, no, I think that he came by night because he was afraid of the people. And then, not only that, we've changed. We added to by saying, here's why he came by night. Do you see that? Can I have about 5 minutes? Does that break all the rules here if you give me about 5 minutes?
You have any rules?
Oh, I'm going to take five. Give me 15. No. Now, you got to see the application. Now, I've done been standing up here talking about 30 minutes. How do you apply all of this to our present situation in religion today? Just use the rules. Are we saved by faith? No, I didn't say that now. Don't add anything to what I've said. I said, are we saved by faith? Do we not all agree on that? Wouldn't everybody in the contemporary religious world that has any Bible belief at all agree we're saved by faith? Romans chapter 5, verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what does somebody do? Break our rule and come along and say we're saved by faith. What? Only. He's thinking way ahead of me here. Faith alone. Martin Luther translated the scriptures like that, but at least he put in his footnotes that he added the word to clarify the meaning. Well, he didn't clarify the meaning. He confused the meaning. Of course we're saved by faith, but not by faith alone. James chapter 2 says, you see, that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And yet there are millions and multiplied millions of people that believe this false doctrine that you're saved by faith only. Nothing else. What about baptism? How should we be baptized? Well, everybody I've ever talked to said, you know, buried in water, that's baptism. You know, Jesus was buried in water. Paul said buried with him in baptism. And then we begin to add sprinkling, the way my grandpa was, or pouring water on somebody. And we become divided. Why? Because we broke our three simple rules. What about who should be baptized? Well, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So a believer. We all agree with that? Everybody I know of agrees with that. And then we start baptizing little babies. And we become divided. Are you with me now? Do you see why we become divided? We break our rules. You get the name Christian. Everybody I've ever talked to says it's okay to wear the name Christian. Disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. That's okay. If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his name, 1 Peter 4:16. Why, even King Agrippa said, almost, Paul, you persuade me to be a Christian. And then we begin adding other names to it, qualifying terms. And we're guilty of that, brethren. Don't you ever do this. Don't you ever be guilty of this, that saying you're a Church of Christ. You don't do that, do you? He's a Church of Christ preacher. That's a Church of Christ school. This is a Church of Christ church. Why, it's just as sectarian as you can get. That's just like saying you're a Baptist church or a Methodist church or I'm an Episcopalian or I'm a Catholic or I'm a Muslim. Don't do that. What are you? If you're saved, you're a Christian. We have no right to change that in any way. Now, y'all looking solemn at me. I'm telling you the truth, and you know it. If we'll stay with the Bible, it'll never be a question. Besides, you don't know what. Yes, I came out of a church where I sang in the choir, big choir. We had two pianos and one big organ. I know about this. I've studied about this, and it bothered me for a long time. I couldn't see how we couldn't do that until I studied my Bible. And the Bible gives us the answer to that, just like it does everything else. God's way of salvation from sin, it's very plain. Jesus said, except you believe I am He, you will die in your sins, didn't He? John 8:24. And unless you repent, you will perish. Luke 13:3. Did He say that? If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Did He say that? If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. In Matthew 10. Did He say that? Didn't He go out and say, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, he who disbelieves shall be condemned? Did He say that? And then, man, do I have to tell you there's everything taught under the sun today. I was just reading from a book. A guy just wrote such a good sermon right there and got right to the end. He said, now open your heart and receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and repeat after me this prayer and be saved. And you won't find that not top side nor bottom in your Bible. In any translation of the Bible that I've ever read. Doesn't teach that. So we're divided. Well, I've got to stop. I'm sorry, I misread the time. Blame him, don't blame me. He said 26. No. Thank you for listening so intently. If you have questions on what I teach now, listen, I want to teach the truth. I have no desire to teach anything that's not the truth. And in this meeting, if I say anything that's not the truth, you'll be my friend eternally if you'll tell me so I can change. Because I've changed before, more than once. And I'll change again if that's necessary, wouldn't you? Because you know what? I want to go to heaven. That's the goal of my heart, is to go to heaven. And I want you to go too. And we're going to work on that all this week as we look into the Bible. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And that's the way we're going to be studying. Wouldn't you pray with me?